that we've had to get ourselves down here and in the thick of this. A special day, a special achievement from a very, very special group of players. Few nerves when we woke up this morning, did the unthinkable happen? When it was said that way, midway through the first half, there was no looking back, never in doubt.
Happened, friends. It's happened. The last time we spoke, it was a dream. Now, that dream is a reality. And I can finally say, as a fact, Ipswich Town are Premier League. Let that wash over you. Just enjoy it. Open a beer, maybe. Treat yourself. This is going to be our big reaction podcast. Peek behind the curtain, first of all. I was up at 5 a.m. today. I've not had a shower. I'm running basically on caffeine. I'm still buzzing, but I feel like that's how I should be today. This is a podcast based on raw emotion, and that's what it's going to be. It's unscripted. We've got some pictures we're going to show you. You've just seen the video of me and Stu getting involved in the pitch invasion. That was something we had to do. It was amazing yesterday. So let's talk about it now. Obviously, I'm Mark Heath. I'm your slightly hungover host. I'm joined by all three kings, and the first guy I've got to bring in there, of course, is the man you've just seen me getting embraced on the pitch by fans. He is Sky Sports, Stuart Watson. Stewie, emotion was probably one of the key terms from yesterday. You got a little bit overwhelmed in your and Alex's post-match video, which I thought was lovely and touching. If you've not seen that, go and watch it. It was genuine and heartfelt, and I loved it. How are you feeling today, old friend?
I feel fine.
Yes, go on.
I can shed a little tear on demand. I did it for the clicks. I did it for the views. I did get a little bit overwhelmed at the end, as I think a lot of people did yesterday. I think it kind of. The day hit me like a ton of bricks from the moment I woke up. Been pure business mode all week. I think Alex will attest to the fact that we went down for breakfast on Wednesday morning after Coventry. And he said, is it going to be all right? And I said, looked him dead in the eye. I said, it's going to be fine. They'll be fine. And we did all, I think, deep down believe that it was going to get done. And then I woke up on the morning. Maybe it was a mixture of sort of several days of being a bit of a media whore, if I'm honest, doing, as you say, some Sky Sports news. I did Sky News live from the press box at like 9:30 on Saturday morning. So I was in the ground earlier than usual and not in the stomach. It suddenly reality hit of how close it was. And then the full-time whistle blew and we saw those incredible scenes. And by the time I drove home, I felt completely emotionally spent, mega sort of adrenaline dump. I think it all exaggerated by the fact that we'd been to Hull away on the Saturday night, Coventry. There'd been so much build up to it all. I sort of crashed emotionally, I think, by the end of that day yesterday.
Never be afraid of your emotions, friends. And that's especially apt on a day like yesterday and obviously following it up today. There'll be lots of hangovers around the county, around the world with this this fantastic achievement for Ipswich Town. I'm going to come next to Rossi. We're going to leave Johnny come lately, Alex Jones to the last in this particular start. Rossi, you've been there as a fan for many, many, many years. How old were you last time Town were in the Premier League?
Four.
Yeah. Jesus H. Criminy. So yesterday was professionally, obviously, a massive day for you, but also personally, these are the sort of things that you've probably not seen before. If you have, you can't remember them. How are you feeling about it all?
hasn't really sunk in, to be fair. You know, obviously I know we're in the Premier League, which is still mad to say. You know, it's your town, Premier League. And yeah, so many town fans came up to me and they just obviously they hugs and kisses all around because it was just a moment we never thought would ever happen. It's your town in the top flight of English football once again. But yeah, little old me. Yeah, I was five actually when we got relegated. I was four when we went up, you know, Wembley. But I was five when we got, you know, relegated. Maybe turning six that summer. And yeah, I probably at that point never thought I'd probably see Premier League football as an adult. But yeah, now I am, and all the other Town fans who have never experienced Premier League football will do. So yeah, bring on the Man Uniteds, the Man Cities of the world, because Ipswich Town are coming for you.
That's still mental that you were saying that, and that's actually going to happen. They are going to play those sort of sides next season, and you boys are going to be at these grounds covering these games. It was part of the, we'll talk about it obviously in much more depth when we bring up some pictures, but part of the beauty of yesterday, the pitch invasion, was there were so many youngsters there, like people who have never ever seen Ipswich Town in the Premier League, never come close to this level of success. And yeah, rightly soaking it in. Speaking of someone who enjoys success, Johnny come lately. We've been covering Town, what, for 12, 13 seasons, Stu? It's been shite, let's be honest, for most of it. Rossi's jumped on board. He jumped on board. Town got relegated. AJ Swan's in from Millwall. And they only bloody go and just go straight up from the Championship. Do not pass go. Straight from the Championship into the Premier League. What have you got to say for yourself, AJ? How are you feeling?
Yeah, feeling pretty good. It's a nice trajectory to have. I mean, still at the same time, when I was sat in Tim Horton's, what would it have been now, 11 months ago, something like that.
It would have been about this time last year, wouldn't it?
About this time last year. I wouldn't necessarily have expected that I'd then, around about a year on, be sat or doing the podcast with you guys, looking at another promotion, looking at the away days that we're going to have next year, looking at the games. It's a very, very strange feeling to have. Yeah. And I think that as well, in the same kind of thing that Stu touched on, that was just especially the emotion of the last week more than anything has been part of what's made it feel so big, because for ages it's been there, it's been in the back of your mind. You think back to January, February, even some of the games in March, or they've had a bit of a setback at Cardiff, all these kind of different things. And it really has hit home for me, and I'd assume for everyone else, in the last week, starting off with Leeds losing at QPR. And that was then the kind of the kick-starting point. You know what they've got to do. You know what the next week's going to be. You know that you're going to have huge amount of nerves and adrenaline and pressure on all these games. Everything's hinging on Hull, on Coventry. It's going to be, you're going to have to put everything into it. And that's for us covering it. That's for supporters watching it, knowing they're going to be mentally drained. The players out there, everyone at the club. It feels like it's a culmination, yes, of the whole season, which has been absolutely magnificent, especially in this last week, I think is what's made it kind of hit home so much. And it is going to take a long time to sink in, that's for sure.
Right. The way we're going to do today is exactly like last year when we sat here. I think it was Bank Holiday Monday last year, me, you, Hutchie, Stu, and we looked at pictures from the day, because I think that's great for evoking feelings. And that's what I want this to be about, feelings, emotions, a little bit of peek behind the scenes. Do not hold back, boys, in describing things that you experienced yesterday. Let's start, first of all, I guess, with where the day started, which is the coach greeting, which, again, was quite something. I'll bring up some pictures, boys. So maybe you want to talk about this. And Rossi, I know you were right in amongst it. Go and watch the game day video. Ross is literally in a cloud of blue smoke, talking to camera, which is great. So if you want to kind of fully relive that, go and watch that. But here's a couple of pictures. Ross is going to hate me because I don't fall the screen, but there we go. Essentially, if you're just listening to this, that is the Town coach shrouded in blue smoke being escorted by the police car, fans obviously everywhere, and here they are being kind of walked into the ground with the blue action guys waving the flags. I was worried, first of all, that I wasn't going to make it into the ground, boys, because I left slightly later than I planned yesterday, which meant I had to walk through to get to the media entrance. I had to walk down the side of Portman Road and then through where everyone was waiting for this. And at times I got stuck because people just weren't moving and I was wearing a backpack. So I literally got wedged in. I got very up close and personal with people that I I'd never met before. Got chatting to them while I was waiting to see if I could get through the space. It was bedlam down there. We've seen it before, obviously, Stu. Firstly, Exeter, and then obviously the derby earlier this season. How did this one feel for you?
I loved it. And I know it's split opinion going into the game that some people felt that maybe it could leave egg on the face if things didn't go to plan, that it would be perceived as a bit sort of a premature party. For me, it was a show of support and a show of gratitude and a show of belief in these players before the game rather than anything like that. McKenna and the players love it. You could see Kieran at the front of the coach really sort of whipping them up and waving out of the window as well. So, I'm all for it. It's, again, you get flashbacks to periods where you'd go to games and half full stadiums and apathy reigned to be having these scenes. It's not that long ago. It was unthinkable.
Yeah, how quickly times have changed. Rossi, you would like to say there, you would in the midst of the storm, the eye of the storm, what was that experience like for you? And what because I know you've said before that you're not a massive fan of the coach greetings, but did this do anything to change your mind?
I wouldn't say I'm a fan of it because of the visuals. As a photographer and video man, I just love the visuals. But I just felt maybe you don't need it this time around. But I was wrong because it was unbelievable once again. So I'm just going to shut up, to be fair, because I'm very fortunate I could be right in amongst it. Obviously, as a photographer, I'm there trying to capture things. And I will admit, at one stage, I thought I went blind because it was just so. Everything was blue and I was just, it all went in my eyes and I went, it's worth it because this is just, to be in that moment, it was just unbelievable. And I'm sure those players on that coach looking out their windows thinking, bloody hell, you know, this just a sea of blue, all these town fans. And it's just, it brings the club together as well, like all the fans together. You know, I'm sure there's so many people who have never met before and they're just coming all together as one club to enjoy that moment. And we'll talk about the pitch invasion later because I'm sure that was similar vibes. But that bus creep was probably bigger than the Norwich game, the Exeter game, because of just what we knew could happen.
Yeah, it was visceral, wasn't it? I mean, obviously the smoke, the flares, next kind of level, acrid smoke kind of washing over you, constant chanting, atmosphere incredible. Stu, I know you said you'd been confident, you'd been in business mode, but peek behind the curtain time on yesterday morning, you were going around saying, tell me it'll be okay. It's going to be okay, isn't it? to most of the people in the media room, you had a little wobble maybe before kickoff.
Yeah, as I say, it was only literally that morning and I woke up and I felt a little bit sick in the stomach, to be honest, because of how close it was. I just knew, having been on this small portion of this journey with far longer suffering fans who've paid their money and given their free time for so long and got so little back in reality, that I knew how much it meant to them. I knew how much it would mean to the town and the community and the county as a whole. I was just desperate to see it happen. And there was just that, we talked all week about the little nagging doubt in your mind that, you know, Maidstone being the example, that freak results can happen. And you start to paint a scenario in your head where it only takes one long free kick into the box, the ball to bounce awkwardly, goal to go in, and everyone gets a bit nervy. But then I got there and the Huddersfield reporters, various Huddersfield reporters were telling us, you'll be fine, you'll win 6-0 today. There's a fractured camp here. He's playing the reserves. The manager's going out swinging. And I don't know if that made me feel better or worse at that stage. But yeah, I don't think I've ever felt that feeling before. I felt, for the first time, I'd say ever, I felt more like a fan than a journalist going into that game. It was weird.
Hmm. Just another peek behind the curtain before we get to the game itself. In terms of things you're going to have to get used to, boys, rocked up media centre yesterday. You go in, you get your pass. They're all laid out on the table. And me being the nosy bastard I am, I just started looking at all the names on the passes. And good Lord, there were some big hitters there yesterday. Without being too geeky, David Walsh from the Sunday Times was there, who's the guy who literally caught Lance Armstrong. He was covering Ipswich Town yesterday. Jonathan Liu from The Guardian, who's one of the best sports writers in the country. And that's going to be the norm, I reckon, going forward, boys. We can talk about it a little bit later on because the post-match pressers were a bit of chaos, a bit of a rumpus. And that's going to be normal as well. AJ, take us into to your thoughts pre-game, and then we've got a picture of Wes Burns opening the scoring. So you take us into that first got 20 minutes or so. Clearly, we thought if just Town can get an early goal, then jobs are good and on they go. But
yeah,
it felt a bit nervy, didn't it, that first 20 minutes? They were missing chances. Maybe you'd think they'd normally score. There was a few kind of loose balls. It just felt a bit nervy.
God, you're asking me to actually remember something from this game. Wow.
I know. Yeah, we won't do much of it, don't worry.
We're not going to do too much because I can't remember too much. I think, quickly, I just want to touch on some of the things that Stu mentioned as well. I think that one of the bits, sorry if you can hear the dog barking outside, that hit home with me was a clip that ITV Anglia put up on Friday, which we kind of referenced a few times in the pre-match presses, where I think Mark Ashton went into a school. There were hundreds of kids there, all wearing Town tops, all cheering Blue Army, all cheering We Are Going Up, getting fully behind it. And I think that was one of the moments where, you know, Stu touched on the community aspect of it. That was when I really started to deep, wow, this is probably a town that we've said it a few times, 10 years ago, probably more recently than that, 5 years ago, you're going to have kids wearing Arsenal tops, Man United tops, Chelsea tops, and this is an auditorium full of kids screaming at Mark Ashton, and him stood at the front, in front of all of them, like covered in blue, trying to ramp them up. And that was when it settled in. And in and around those times, I had these awkward visions of Huddersfield going like 1-0 up with a scruffy free kick bouncing around, as Stu said. I literally had that real clear vision in my mind, and that's where the fear came in. And it was settled quite quickly, I'd say, because I'd spoken at length with the Huddersfield Town reporter before the game, and he'd kind of gone through and said it would be okay and this would be why. And he did follow that trend. They were really impressive, I thought, in the first kind of 15, 20 minutes of that game, the way that they managed it. I think that Huddersfield had a period at the start where they dominated possession, but from there, they could hardly get a sniff. Every time they touched the ball, they'd play it forward, they'd get caught offside, the strikers would be robbed of it. Town looked so comfortable and confident in possession. And the biggest thing for me was, we've kind of mentioned before, that they can kill the emotion sometimes a little bit too much in some games, maybe the Derby game. They needed to in this one. They needed to be stone cold and calm. And they were. They played it as a normal game. Yes, they missed a couple of chances. Burns before he scores. Blazers one wide so that he really probably should score as the goalkeeper comes out. They've had others before then. But it didn't feel like they were going to start panicking. It didn't feel like they were going to start going away from what they usually do. And the goal is fantastic. Really clever work from Chaplin and a nice finish from Wes Burns. And the scenes after that are, wow, pretty special.
Yeah, I would say that it was electrifying, the atmosphere yesterday when they came out. In terms of that kind of feeling that something freak may be on the cards, I would say, I don't know how it was where you were, because I was seated a little bit away from you. You all had allocated seating yesterday, which is another sign of just how many people were there. You had to sit in a specified seat. And the guy sitting next to me was not observing press box etiquette. Slamming the table when Town missed a chance. Saying, turning up as soon as about 15 minutes turned to me and going, it's going to be one of those days, isn't it? It's going to be one of those days. So he wasn't doing it my nerves any good. And then, of course, Rossi, I'm going to come to you here, because Wesley James Burns, that beautiful Welsh man, gets this goal, courtesy of Steve Waller, this picture, slots it by the keeper, and Ipswich Town are on the way. And that felt like a massive kind of relief, wasn't it? They got the goal. I can't remember what the score was in the Leeds game at that point. We'd had the cheering, hadn't we, when Leeds had gone 1-0 down, and then very quickly it was back to 1-1. Then Wes Burns scores. So we're on our way. Ross, you're sitting with the fans. There was an extraordinary kind of crescendo of noise when that happened.
Yeah, Portman Road's been a noisy ground all season long, but that was a moment where we all went, okay, we can calm down now. It's they got the goal, and yeah, Huddersfield are not going to score. There was not a single moment in that game where I thought, oh, Huddersfield are going to nick a goal back. But Wes Burns, who has been part of this journey from, you know, that game changer, you know, first signing of the game changer era, and you know, what a goal as well, a really good finish. And cue the celebrations. And then from then on, I think Town fans were very much going party time. I know it was really party time, but that was a time where even there was a chance of like stand up, you could go up. I was tempted to do it at one stage. I thought, I can't do that because I don't know if I'm allowed to, but also there's people behind me. Although they'll be standing up, so it's fine. But yeah, it was a great moment. And that was a moment where I went, we're up, because
yeah,
I can't see Huddersfield scoring.
I'm afraid at that point, when that ball hit the back of the net, I did completely disregard press box etiquette. And I did do one of those kind of half stands to kind of celebrate and then realise that you're not going to do that in the press box. But yeah, it was, that was a very good feeling. I don't want to spend too much time talking about the game itself, because clearly there's a lot more other things that are more important to talk about. But Stu, then we get the second goal just after the break. You actually, at halftime, you can see this in the behind-the-scenes video when we put that out. Stu is agonising about a tweet at halftime. I think it was something along the lines of Ipswich Town are almost there or something like that, wasn't it, Stu? And then I think you ended up deleting that part of it. Just trying to keep everything, don't want to jinx anything.
Yeah, exactly that. But we knew it was done at that stage. It needed a four-goal swing at halftime. Leeds had to score twice. They were behind to Southampton. But the bigger issue was Huddersfield needed to score twice. You can see a scenario where something, you know, a corner, a set piece happens, but not two. They looked bereft of confidence. They looked like a team that just wanted to be anywhere else. Adrenaline pumping with the Ipswich players. You look at the bench, the players that were warming up as well, that Kieran McKenna had to call upon. I knew it was done at halftime. And then within 3 minutes of the restart, it felt like when that Amari Hutchinson goal went in, run, low finish, somersault celebration, that the floodgates were going to open and it could be another Exeter type day.
Yeah, my personal journey to that goal was I'd spent rather too long in the town press room at halftime speaking to a lovely chap called Patrick, who hands out the drinks and gives you the food on match days. He's a really, really top bloke, is Patrick. Loves his holidays. He's off to Malta and he's also off to Normandy. So I got chatting to him about military stuff, and then I hadn't realised the game had kicked off. Mm-hmm. So I was walking upstairs carrying a cup of coffee, and as I got to the bit where you go back into the stand to walk up to the press box at the back there, a couple of guys who'd obviously been getting drinks had heard the cheering, as I had, and they ran past me. And then as I got to the top of the steps, they'd been told they couldn't come in because they were carrying like a glass of a bottle of beer. And so they turned round in their kind of, haste, to be able to get back in, and completely knocked my coffee everywhere, all over me. So my shirt is bearing the coffee stains of the celebrations. But yeah, as soon as that goal goes in, it's on. And AJ, I feel like I should talk to you here about Amari, because you picked him, I think, as one of your award winners pre-season. He's been spectacular. Had a couple of outrageous moments yesterday as well. I think there was one pass that he sort of scooped over the top, and I actually mumbled to the guy next to me, "That is outrageous." I can't remember who he played in, but it was just a little bit too heavy. It was amazing. What a player Amari Hutchinson is, AJ. And obviously there's going to be a question that we're going to be talking about quite a lot probably over the summer as to whether or not Town might be able to get him back in some shape or form.
Yeah. Luckily, I feel like with this one, press box etiquette was maintained to a bigger extent, which I feel like has just held back on mentioning. Is after the first one went in, I kind of slapped him on the back a bit. And I turned to him after and was like, "I really hope I didn't hurt you there." And he kind of, I think, was so laser focused at that point. The second one, because I feel like there was kind of that explosion of, "Oh my God, they're ahead after that one. And the second one felt like the relief, because although there was that feeling it was done at one, and I know that there was no real way that Huddersfield were going to come back into that game. At one, there's always that, what if we have the most unbelievable collapse ever? At two, that was it, 100%. There was no way at that point. It's a lovely goal, isn't it? I mean, the goalkeeper should do better, but it's a nice dribble through the middle, takes aim, low shot, kind of bubbles into the bottom corner, off the gloves of Chris Maxwell, second choice Huddersfield goalkeeper. But as a performance, I mean, I got man of the match for that. Yesterday, I think on Sky, I think I picked the man of the match because I just gave everyone 10s. But he would as well. And overall, it's wow, what a player. And we've seen that more than anything, I'd say, in the last week. You look at the whole game, you look at midweek, you look at yesterday. And I mean, we've had that little run beforehand as well. He's the exciting player. He's been the X factor. And in a team that doesn't have any stars, potentially when you get to these moments toward, okay, doesn't have any stars, as we hear so often, potentially when you get towards the end of the season, when things can be cagey and a little bit nervy, you've had some draws in there, you struggle to break some team down, like Middlesbrough, like Watford, et cetera, et cetera. You need someone that can just pick up a ball and slap it in from 25 yards and curl it into the top corner. He is that kind of Premier League X factor player. You can see someone that's come through at X amount of different top academies and what he can bring. So I believe that there was a bit that's gone out that Fabrizio Romano said from Sky that he said he'd like to stay, but he's going to need to talk to his agent. He'll need to talk to Chelsea and all those different things. We'll discuss it, I'm sure, multiple times over the coming weeks and months. But I think we could all agree that in his current trajectory, even if his long-term future might be at Chelsea, it makes sense for his next step to be at the Premier League in a club where he'd play regularly. And it makes sense, doesn't it?
It really does. Stu, have you got any thoughts on that before we move on? You look like you might be poised to say something there about Amari.
No, not beyond what we've already said about him. He's been on absolute fire at the back end of this season, and an added bonus of Ipswich getting promoted means that some of these, you know, the manager, Amari Hutchinson, Leif Davis, people that, you know, would have been worried about maybe departing, it really maximises the chances of continuing the journey altogether.
One of the things we talked about on the preview pod, wasn't it, was about hard work and that being kind of not sexy, but a huge part of underpinning it. And yes, he scores the second goal, but you go back and watch the first goal, Omari wins the ball to set that up. He's the one who makes the tackle, gives the ball to Hurst, and it ends up Chaplin to Burns, 1-0, Ipswich Town on their way. Right then, bollocks to the game, 2-0, game's over, Ipswich Town have won. Let's talk emotions, friends. Let's talk pitch invasion, shall we? Because it's inevitable that's going to happen, and so it should. Outpouring of emotion. That's what sport is for. This is a generational thing. People want to experience it together. It was a wonderfully happy place to be on that pitch. I've got a couple of pictures. Rossi, obviously you were right in amongst it. And this is one of your pictures. It's Chappers hoisted on the shoulders of a fan. He was wearing a wig. He was leading the singing. Similar scenes all over the pitch. Just so many happy faces. And also emotional faces. As I walked past the guy as we went onto the pitch, he was just standing there on his own, and he just had his head in his hands like this. And I kind of wanted to film him, but it felt almost intrusive because he was having a little private moment to himself. Clearly, a guy I would say probably 50 or so. So someone who's experienced some bad times with Town in recent years, just taking the moment in for himself. Ross, what was it like for you?
Bloody carnage, boy. Bloody carnage. But good carnage because obviously we had a little mini pitch invasion last year, but this year it was on a different level. I just remember just when that full-time whistle blew, I just saw every side of the stadium just run onto it. And it was just a sea of blue and all the flares going up, and there's so many different faces I've seen before. They came up and gave me hugs and stuff like that, and I went, enjoy this, boys. Enjoy it because, you know, it's once in a lifetime sort of thing, you know, a team, you know, we've seen this. I think we spoke about before. We've seen teams win promotion to the Premier League multiple times on TV. And we like think that'd be nice if that could be us one day. And it was us that day. And it was just unbelievable. And yeah, seeing players, once again, those images and those visuals will be remembered for generations because of, you know, we see the 2000s. We saw, you know, in the 90s, you know, Jayton Dazelle and co, you know, getting lifted up by all the fans. Those images will be remembered forever because it's a moment that will live with everyone. And I just love seeing all the pictures. I went on social media all last night, this morning, people just on the pitch taking pictures and with the players, just unbelievable. And I know there's a few fans who don't sit in the same seat, so they went, we're going to meet in the middle of the pitch, and that's what they did, and that was lovely to see that too. So yeah, the day was obviously for the players, but the fans, they've gone through a lot of rubbish, and I'm sure that was a day they'll never forget.
Yeah, I mean, as I said to you before the match, Rossi, these are the pictures you took yesterday, and everyone who was there, you know, professionally taking pictures, and obviously people took pictures of their own on the phone. But in terms of the pictures you took yesterday, these are pictures that are still going to be being used 50 or 60 years
still
from
now. Still got loads
to
go through. Still got
like we pull out. Yeah, well, we still pull out pictures from 1962. I mean, these pictures will potentially outlive you, old friend, when you eventually pass 30 and are inevitably one step closer to the grave. these pictures will stand the test of time, probably more so than even the words that we write around it, because the pictures are the things that get pulled out again and again. And having just said that the words are pointless, I don't want to blow Stuart Watson's trumpet too much, but Stu, went home yesterday, tired, emotional, burnt out. He'd wept like a baby. And he went and composed one of his finest verdicts, if you don't mind me saying, Stu. And I'm going to indulge myself now by reading some of it, because I think you captured this perfectly. And then I'm going to come to you, because you can talk more about this pitch invasion we experienced together. You say, worth the wait. I stopped and looked at different age fans unified in joy. Older generations smiled wistfully as core memories from their youth were unlocked. Those in their early 30s and below soaked in a moment they'd never experienced before and, up until fairly recently, probably assumed they never would. Kids, many on parents' shoulders, took it all in, wide-eyed, unaware of the lifetime love affair they are now locked into. That is beautiful, mate. Chef's kiss on that one. He thinks this is normal, one father said, smiling, looking down at his young son. A grand old football club with a rich history had sleptwalked its way to a third-tier mid-table mediocrity. It was death by a thousand cuts. Apathy set in. Year after year, hundreds walked away and found better things to do with their time. Those that stuck with it witnessed lows too countless to mention. Going to the game felt like a chore for the paying punter, and reporting on it often felt like a thankless task. And then along came ambitious American owners. They installed Mark Ashton, and he, in turn, appointed Kieran McKenna. It all proved to be a match made in heaven. A giant was awoken from its slumber. The oil tanker turned and juggernaut-like momentum gathered. Hearts and minds have well and truly been captured. A community has been united. Years of pain have been eradicated. Ipswich is back on the map. It was all worth the wait. This achievement will leave a lasting legacy. If I could, Stu, I'd stand up and applaud you right now. That's beautiful stuff, my friend. Well crafted, well weaved. Some of your finest work on the biggest day professionally of your career. How was that for you, mate, walking on that pitch? Because it was emotional. Like, you could not help but be kind of carried away on that kind of tide of just joy.
Yeah, you said a happy place. I struggle to think of many happier places that were in the world at that moment in time on a gloriously sunny Suffolk day. Like you say, a shared experience, everyone coming together on the pitch. That's how you do a pitch invasion. Last year's was kind of, are we going to get docked points and people in the top tiers half-heartedly booing it? And it wasn't. Oh, and it was also, it was, it is ultimately a promotion from League One, a division we shouldn't really have been in. But this was incredible. And just, as you say, you looked at different people's faces and the different emotions they were feeling. And I really like the bit from Kieran McKenna's press conference leading up to the game where, you know, he's been asked about his journey as someone who left home at 16 to come over from Northern Ireland to England to pursue his dream of being a footballer, how he's had to pivot on that at the age of 21, 22 because of injury and everything that he's put in and the sacrifices he's made and how it's affected his family and his loved ones around him. And he also acknowledged that everyone else has been on their own journeys as well, whether it be the players, whether it be the fans. And it's only football at the end of the day, but it's not, because it teaches you about the sort of the highs and lows of life, doesn't it, football? And, you know, life is that. We all have shit things happen to us along the way. And it's also a reminder that you have to enjoy the good moments when they come, and because they can be rare sometimes. And it just felt like a really special day, a really special moment. I think it hit everybody quite hard of all different age ranges. And just a special day that's going to live long in the memory.
Absolutely. I'll just flash up one more picture of the pitch scenes. We've got loads of them. Some of them are apparently too large to upload over 20 meg, which apparently is too low. But this is Steve Waller's picture. It might actually be yours, Rossi. I don't know off the top of my head. But it's Caden Jackson being held aloft with kind of blue smoke all around. You've got the Ipswich Town Football Club sign in the background. It was absolutely beautiful, this stuff yesterday. And then post-match, in terms of kind of, again, a peek behind the curtain. So we've had the pitch invasion, which went on for about 17 hours, I think it felt like. No problem with that at all. Absolutely. If you're ever going to do it now, enjoy it. So we were kind of waiting around, wandering around the pitch, talking to players. I spoke to Wes Burns and Caden Jackson. You spoke to Sam Morsey and Axel Turnzebe. That was great. There were players with their families. All of them seemed to be drinking Peroni, bedecked in flags. Fabio Wardley was wandering around, a couple of Peroni bottles in his hand, really enjoying himself, as he should do. He's there with his mum, Shawnee. It was an absolutely stupendous, beautiful day. And eventually, after about 2 hours, I think, after the game had finished, we finally got to speak to Kieran McKenna, who had been kind of engulfed by humanity on the pitch. Numerous, you know, probably a world record for selfies and, you know, shaking hands and that kind of thing. And then finally, he was kind of shepherded us into a little area just off the side of the players' tunnel. And again, friends, a peek behind the curtain before Stu talks about this and we talk about Kieran McKenna as a whole. A lot has been said about Kieran McKenna and what a top bloke he is. So Kieran McKenna has just done the impossible, essentially. He's got talent out of League One. Lovely. What are you going to do for your next trick? Oh, I'll tell you what, I'll go straight through the Championship and into the Premier League. That's pretty impressive, Kieran. You're a pretty big deal. He comes in, first thing he does is he shakes everyone in that press pack's hand. And then he says, I would have bought you all wine, but I didn't want to jinx it. Just a little insight into the character of the guy. And Stu, obviously, you've spoken to him all season. You led the dance. What was your impression of him yesterday? Because given that he's already done about a billion interviews on the pitch, he's obviously, he wants to celebrate. He wants to enjoy himself. He gave us, what, 10, 15 minutes of, again, just classic McKenna, calm, thoughtful, honest, and very generous with his time, as he always is.
I love the picture of him yesterday with his hand sort of
here we go.
Over his mouth. Have you got it?
There we go.
As if to say, you know, as we keep saying, a moment that kind of all hit us, a moment that we've been building to for a while, but even only a few days ago was very much in the balance, wasn't it? Still in the balance going into yesterday's game. And I think the magnitude of what he's done has hit him and the journey that he's been on. And we've talked a lot about him as generally a good human being, which I think is, you know, forget, obviously he's a top coach, obsessed with the game, but it's the man management, it's the communication, it's the empathy, the emotional intelligence, it's all that stuff that marks him out from the rest, I think. He's in club folklore now, isn't he? He just feels very Ipswich to me. It's intangible. I don't know what that means sometimes, what clubs are, and the family clubs and community clubs gets chucked around a bit. Willy-nilly, I guess every club probably feels like that to its core, but he just feels like the perfect fit for this football club and everything it embodies, doesn't he?
Absolutely. And there was a little insight into the future there for you as well, Stu, because obviously you normally lead the dance at these things. You got a couple of questions in and then someone immediately just tramped all across you. Well done for not sticking the nut on him. You're going to get used to that, I think, next season, because there's going to be all sorts of reporters from all over the place, all over the world, coming to cover Ipswich Town next season. In terms of Kieran McKenna, Rossi, it sounds strange to say, right? Because he's been at Ipswich Town, what, two and a half seasons. He's got two promotions back to back, done already historic, unthinkable things. Kind of feels in a way like he's still just getting started about what he may be able to achieve at this club. And it feels to me like he is like Ipswich Town's cheat code, their trump card, this guy that is on a completely different level. Talk a little bit about what you make of Kieran McKenna.
What a man. Super Kieran McKenna. Once again, when he got announced, all of us were a little bit, I won't say underwhelmed, but we're like...
Yeah, don't go back and listen to that rating that I gave Kieran McKenna, because that hasn't aged well.
No, but we didn't know.
I ever did that. Yeah.
We didn't have a clue. You know, he was assistant manager at Man United, which obviously is still a very good role. You know, you've got to be a good coach to be at any club, you know, like Man United. So, he's just transformed this team. Like the football we play as well is unbelievable. I think the club have just put out a tweet about 100 and something points, 193 goals, which is just the luck for the last two seasons, which is incredible. But he's just, as I said, you know, I've been fortunate enough to be in some of his press conferences and in his presence, and he's just got, there's no ego there, and he is just a nice man who's just willing to give up his time to chat about things. And yeah, I learn new things about football sometimes when I'm in their press conferences, some of the stuff he talks about, some of the questions the boys ask him. But he's just transformed this football club. Obviously, Mark Ashton's get a lot of credit as well for bringing him in. It was, you could say it was a risk, because
it was a risk, big time. Yeah, absolutely. So,
but yeah, I'm sure a lot of people bookmark different posts from Man United fans saying, oh, I wouldn't go there, mate. You're going to get relegated from League One. But well, he's just got us back-to-back promotions, and he'll be now playing Man United next season. So yeah, bring it on.
Yeah, McKenna's just a school teacher. Stick that up your blackboard. Friends, so from McKenna, we then get Luke Wolfenden, AJ, who you then interview. I should just say at this point, by the way, if you want to hear these interviews that we did, we've already put out a pod yesterday with all the various interviews. To a man, certainly Wes Burns and Caden Jackson said to me, Wes Burns said that McKenna is the best manager he's ever had. He's the best manager we could have. Caden Jackson said he is incredible, an incredible guy. And then you spoke to a slightly inebriated, shall we say, Luke Wolfenden, AJ. He's a couple of Peronis in. Obviously, these professional elite athletes, they're not used probably to drinking. What was that experience like for you? Because he clearly is an Ipswich lad. It means more to him and Harry Clark maybe than everyone else, because they're from the town. They know what it means. What was that experience like?
Brilliant. Really good. It's the kind of interviews you love to do, because I think with a lot of player interviews, and potentially with a lot of manager interviews, when you're doing them week in, week out, it does sometimes feel like you're doing the same kind of thing. You know, what's the team news? How are you feeling out of this game? You're going to be playing this opponent. You're not looking at the table. All those different kind of things. And when you get this kind of unfiltered look at a person and a player, and you get that quite a lot with Luke Wolfenden, I think you go back and look at a piece that Stu did, I think it was a spread that he did with Luke Wolfenden a few weeks ago. That was brilliant. He gives kind of a real in sense of the kind of character that he is and what it means for him to be in the Premier League. I think she put to him saying, what would it mean for you to take your boyhood club there? And it really hit him quite hard at that point. So to get quite an unfiltered look at him, yes, albeit probably that he was feeling it a little bit at that stage, was quite nice. Someone who I like that he wasn't looking ahead. Like, it's not him thinking, oh, I get to go play Man United next year at the Man City, Chelsea, Arsenal. He was so in the zone and in the moment of enjoying it. Me, I was thinking, how have you been able to take it game by game? And his reply being, yeah, we've taken it game by game, and then we're going to take it pub by pub, and then we're going to focus on the Premier League. A few bits that I had to star out when writing up. Him saying, you know, I said, oh, you look really calm out there. It was really impressive how you dealt with the occasion. He said, might look calm to you, mate. I was shitting it. And I was thinking, he gave us stories about his mate who was on the touchline that he saw in the 82nd minute. He's very precise on that. And he heard his mate shout, Wolfie, Wolfie, and turned around and saw him. We had stories of Don Ball serenading Ed Sheeran on FaceTime in the dressing room. There was so much to love about kind of the insight that you get from it. And I think that as well, when you're doing these press conferences week in, week out, it doesn't always give the best insight into who these players are, potentially even who the manager is to an extent, because they have to put on a little bit of a facade, a little bit of a cover. Whenever we talk to Kieran, it's, you know, you're looking ahead to this, and you'll go, yeah, that's quite nice, but I'm focused on the task at hand. And, you know, he has to say that, and the players have to say that. They're almost all of them are kind of a reflection of the manager. And then getting to see them as people makes you connect with them much, much more. So having that kind of interview, and I'm sure it's also the same with the players that you guys spoke to, and being able to kind of strip back into pure raw emotions of the occasion and who they are as people, what it means to them, was really special. So the Wolfenden interview, in fairness, it's quite nice. I started my time at the ADT talking to Luke Wolfenden and in the Maidstone game, and now ending the season with that as well, and with the emotions that came with that for him, almost getting to see, I mean, we haven't spoken to him that much this year, but getting to kind of see his journey from the start to the finish, being able to kind of document that was really, really nice.
You've got to remember with Luke Wolfenden, there was a time, I think Andy Warren did an interview with him going further back, where he was really candid about how there was a period where I think the phrase you used, my head was in the bin and I was struggling to get out of bed in the morning and motivate myself to go into training when he'd kind of been discarded by, I think that would have been the Paul Lambert era.
Yeah.
He's one of several.
He say he wanted to leave, didn't he, at one point?
Yeah. And how much that hurt him being an Ipswich born and bred, proper Suffolk boy, proper Suffolk bar. And he wanted to be anywhere else. And he's not the only one. You go through that whole squad and they've all got their own stories to tell. How many of them have kind of been cats with nine lives that look like they were out the door several times? Caden Jackson, Janoi Danassian, all guys like that. These aren't just sort of mercenaries that have come in for mega bucks and got Ipswich over the line. These are a band of brothers that have been together for quite a long time, that have fully bought into it. Someone like Connor Chaplin, who's come in and been a trustee of the club. You can see they're really all good mates as well. A lot of them have been lower league players as well. You know, Wes Burns was six seasons at Fleetwood, I think, in League One. Cameron Burgess has come from Accrington. They would have never dreamed of this in their wildest dreams when they came to Ipswich Town. The peak they probably thought is, I might be able to get a promotion to the Championship in my career at some stage. And then others like Broadhead Davis that took a real risk in dropping down to League One. And that's that. I'm sure yesterday they were thinking, right, it was all worth it. I made the right decision. So they've all been on their own little journeys along the way. And they're such a relatable, likeable group of players that I think is what added to the specialness of this achievement. I mean, it was time for new heroes at Ipswich Town. It's great that we've got the Matt Hollands and the Marcus Stewarts, but it was long overdue that we had these new icons, proper legends of the football club, and they'll all go down as that.
100%. There was a particular line I just want to read from the Wolfenden chat. I mean, obviously there was a lot. He was effing and a jeffing, and fair play to Luke. But I think you asked him about, because clearly we've chatted a lot about how hard and how fit, how hard they work and how fit these Town players are. And he says, I'll tell you one example. We're in on Tuesday. We just got promoted and we're in on Tuesday. He says, we get body fat tested more than I ever have in the entirety of my career. We run more. We work hard in the gym. Recovery is massive for us. I love that little insight, because we know that the first time they got back to pre-season this season, or last season, as it were, after just getting promoted, they got handed stats. This is what Burnley did last season. This is what they did. That's how far they ran. I don't know if they had body fat percentages on there, but I'm sure they will have a goal body fat percentage they have to hit, certain weights they have to hit, I'm sure, as well. And that is only going to go again now as they go into the Premier League. I'd love to know what they're given on the first day of pre-season coming up, because I'd imagine those running stats are going to be even higher. And it takes again, this is I think this is part of the unsung nature of this group. That is hard to do, to accept that you're going to have to work that hard to get into that sort of physical shape, because it's boring. It's really boring doing all that running, especially, you know, professional footballer. You want to play with a football. You don't be running all the time. And to put yourself into that mindset day after day after day after day, that you're going to have to hurt yourself physically to get into that sort of shape. That's not something that everyone can do. So to have a group that has kind of accepted that and embraced that is part of what makes this team special.
They made a vow to themselves, didn't they, last summer? Kieran McKenna said they got together very early doors and said, we're going to attack every game. And as you say, they looked at the running stats and what's required. And we go out there, and a phrase he used yesterday was monk-like discipline.
Yeah.
That we've had in this final week of the season, in terms of, you know, they didn't organise any dinners, celebrations, what pub we're going to, hadn't booked any holidays, anything like that. Because, you know, they've just been fully focused on that, and people don't realise the kind of sacrifices that have gone along the way to build them to this point. So they sure deserve to let their hair down now. I think there are a few plans. Little Birdie tells me that Ed Sheeran might be trying to organise something for them, which would be great. I think there might be a bit of a Vegas trip coming up for some of them as well. So, I hope they all have a great time, because they certainly enjoy it. Deserve it.
Absolutely. Plastic fan Sheeran, though, isn't he? Couldn't be bothered to fly back from Miami for that yesterday. What a joke.
I'll tell you what, he said he's continuing his shirt sponsorship for next season. That will have cost him a pretty penny. I'm sure when he said, oh yeah, I'll sponsor the shirts in League One, You think now the sort of mega bucks that people will be lining up to get yourselves on the front of a Premier League shirt that goes out across, what, 150-odd countries across the world, that might have hit him in the pocket a little harder than he was expecting. So I think he joked he might have to start doing a bit more gigging to cover that.
He can't do any more gigging. The guy's just permanently on tour. I don't know where he'd do it. But just going back to that point I was making, anyone who's ever trained for anything seriously knows like how boring and how much discipline that needs. And in terms of the group, if you have one or two bad eggs in that group who are like, oh, I can't be bothered with this, why are we doing this? Then that poisons everything. But clearly in this group, they're all completely 100% behind it, behind the process. And of course, when you talk about process, Stuart Watson, I'm going to come back to you because you spoke to him. You have to talk about Sam Morsey, who's there lifting the runners-up trophy. I don't really feel good about runners-up trophy, I've got to say, but we'll look over that for today because it's got Ipswich Town promoted.
Is that a new thing? Is this the first year they've done that? No, it's not. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of runners-up trophies.
Piers Morgan on us.
No, absolutely not. Ipswich Town have been promoted. I don't care. Hoist as many trophies as you want. But you obviously spoke to Sam on the pitch, Stewie. He's been he's McKenna's right arm, right hand man on the pitch, and for as fiery as he sometimes can be on the pitch, when you speak to him, he is like a reflection of McKenna again, isn't he? He speaks so calmly, so thoughtfully, always talks about the process and putting one game at a time, one action at a time. What was it like speaking to him?
Yeah, he's Mr. Fire and Ice, isn't he? He was so laid back the day before the game when we spoke to him. He was virtually horizontal. I know we talk about sort of Luke Wolfenden being this sort of character that they joke needs to have jump leads put on him at times. It was remarkable how calm Sam Morsey was going into the game, because I think they get that calmness. It comes from the manager, but I think Sam Morsey is kind of a reflection of him, and that creates the culture that's been so strong across the group. I was expecting to see a bit more motion from him after the game, but he was still, I don't know whether it was the achievement was still waiting to sort of sink in for him, but he was, maybe that's just his character, but he wasn't maybe as emotive as some of the other guys that we spoke to. Maybe he's just got himself so much in the zone. It will hit different people at different stages a little bit. Mm. But, again, we've talked about journeys. Having spoken to Sam a little bit on and off the record over time, I don't think he was necessarily delighted to have joined Ipswich at the time that he did. He was a bit of a surprise move. He was a bit forced out the door a little bit at Middlesbrough. It was a drop down to League One. He rightfully thought he was a Championship player. It came at a stage in his career where he was hoping to kick on, but he dropped down a little bit, didn't get off to the greatest starts after the whole Demolition Man summer. And he's fallen on his feet, as so many of these players have done with Kieran McKenna coming in. And he's a prime example, I think, of no matter what age you are or what stage you are in your career, you can always learn and improve and get better. And he's really bought into that. And that's spread throughout the group. So he was talking about how much the manager deserved it in that interview yesterday. And I think he needs to realise how much he deserves it and how central he's been to all of this.
100%. I bet if there is ever anyone, any dissenting voice in terms of doing the training or doing the things they need to be doing, but Sam Morsey quietly persuades them otherwise. As Brian Clough used to say, we had a chat and then we decided that I was correct. I don't know what the hell's going on with my door. I think Benson may be trying to break it down. Anyway, before we get to that, let's do this, Rossi, because you were down. You can give us an insight into this. This is the players celebrating. They've just got their runners-up trophy. They're promoted. The champagne is spraying. Were you down there? Can you give us any insight into what was being said? What was it like? Take us into the action.
We were being, to be fair, the photographers who were down there, we were very polite and go, oh, are you going to be sitting like that the whole time? Because I was sort of more like down because I wanted to get a nice little, angle like that. So the photographer behind me went, are you going to be like that the whole, the whole time we do this? And I went, yeah, mate. Oh, thank God. Okay, great. I'll stand up behind you then. But yeah, it was unbelievable. Obviously, Mark Ashton was giving out all the medals, wasn't he? And they were doing the announcement. Number one, Christian Welton, and then number two, and Harry Clark. And then obviously, they all got their own medal. And it was also nice to see, Freddie Ladapo there as well. Of course, been out on loan at Charlton.
Yeah, that was really nice.
Yeah, all the players who are part of this journey got a medal, and yeah, they were lined up, and obviously Sam Worsley lifted up, champagne all over the place. I think there, some champagne may went in some of the players' eyes, but yeah, it was a great moment, and yeah, I just seeing that now, promoted, championship, I still can't believe that's happened, but yeah, it was a great moment to be in part of, you know, pitch side, trying to get as many snaps as possible. As I said, I still got to go through hundreds of them. So yeah, looking forward to doing that later. But yeah, it was a good moment.
Wasn't that great that some of the biggest cheers when they were reading out those players' names weren't, obviously there was huge cheers for the key players, but there were some really sort of hearty cheers for players like Janoi Danasian and others that I think the fans have really bought into that. You know, look at the way that sort of Greg Lee left last season and Kyle Edwards left with such well wishes, and there might be people like, who knows, Caden Jackson's journey might have come to the end of the road this summer. Janoi probably does look that way with the injuries that he's had, but it's really nice that I think the supporters have kind of appreciate their worth and their value, and because you talk about these standards behind the scenes and one bag egg can spread or whatever, it'd be really easy for those guys are the ones that push the standards of the one above them. You've got to feel like you've got someone breathing down your neck. You've got to feel like it's, you know, it really is this all for one and one for all culture that's been built. We've talked a lot about the running towards adversity mantra that the club's had and how they've, I think, really genuinely bought into all of that with the regular visits from Jason Schechterly and how powerful all that message is. There's so many ingredients that have all gone into this. And Ipswich had no right, really, to finish above Leeds and to finish above Southampton this season. But this story is a reminder that, you know, money isn't everything and that so many other things can all come together and trump that. And I think that's really great.
Absolutely. Money doesn't always win. And that is the beauty of sport. It wins most of the time, but sometimes it doesn't. AJ, we're going to have to talk about the Premier League at some point. I'll tell you what, actually, I'll come back to you, AJ. Because I've got one more thing I want to talk to you about, because I've got one more picture, and that's this guy right here. Mark Ashton, Stewie, the architect. I interviewed him on the first day in post, and I said to him, Mark, you've come from the Championship at Bristol City down to a struggling League One side. Why did you do it? And he looked me in the eyes and he said, because I'm a builder. I like to build, and this is a huge opportunity to build something. I don't think even he could have foreseen that he managed to build. We've gone through airplane in flight to rocket ship in flight. I don't know what it is now. I don't know what's bigger than a rocket ship you can build in flight. But he's building it. And I'd love to know, when we do get to speak to him, how much more, what's next on the architect's drawing board in terms of building things for Ipswich Town. Because he, again, talk about Kieran McKeown, talk about the players, but Ashton has obviously had a huge impact on this as well, Stewie.
He has, and those ambitions were big and bold from the very off. Sat in early sort of briefings where he said, he was talking about not back-to-back promotions, but they were talking about the Premier League early on, and I was, you know, that raised an eyebrow because it felt like the Premier League felt light years away. It felt unthinkable not that long ago. And then he would sit in meetings. He's talked about sitting in meetings and saying, we can sell out Portman Road, we can sell 18,000 season tickets or whatever it was, and a lot of people around the room sort of looked at me like I had two heads. And so maybe that was the kind of psychological scars of the past, and everyone had kind of accepted that that's how it was for Ipswich. But he came in and had big visions, and he's talked about being relentless and being that driving force every day, and they've delivered, remarkably delivered, and the next step up will not catch him out or Kieran McKenna out, or any of the people behind the scenes. You can be sure of that, the whole kind of leaving no stone unturned and being ready. It just feels like the club's in such safe hands, doesn't it?
And I think he's got to get a town tattoo now, hasn't he? I think he said that he's going to get one on his wrist. And I actually walked past Brett Johnson on the stairwell yesterday, going back to the media room, and he was talking about getting a town tattoo as well. So maybe they'll get a matching tats. Rossi, how much more time can you give us? Because you've got to go and cover the ladies game this afternoon. Is that final game of the season for them? How much time have you got to go before your driver picks you up?
Actually, Sasha, my fiance.
Oh, Sasha's the driver today, is it?
Yeah, nice today. So, yeah, I'm sure she's very pleased about that. But five or 10 more minutes. So,
okay.
So yeah, go to AJ though, and I'll
bother. I just wanted that because I want to know how much time AJ's got to cut back this inevitable soliloquy.
I need at least 20 to 25 minutes.
Yeah, so Premier League, AJ, Ipswich Town in the Premier League, we inevitably have to talk about that. We've got to worry about things like VAR. We've got to worry about how they come up with game plans to handle the best players on the planet. You watch more football than anyone on the planet, I reckon. certainly more than I do in terms of, I don't really watch Premier League football. I'm going to have to gen up now. But how do you see, because the obvious thing will be, well, they haven't got any chance in the Premier League. But how do you see things playing out? Because as I said to the players yesterday, no one thought you could do this. This is meant to be impossible. So what can you do in the Premier League? And Wes said to me, there is no limit for this group. We can achieve anything. So realistically, AJ, in 10 minutes or less, what do you think Town can do in the Premier League?
Let me just rattle this through quickly for you. Are you ready? Arsenal, Aston Villa, Bournemouth, Brentford, Brighton, Chelsea, Crystal Palace, Everton, Fulham, Ipswich, Leicester, Liverpool, Manchester City, Manchester United, Newcastle United, Tottenham Hotspur, West Ham, Wolves. The confirmed lineup for the Premier League next season with two spots remaining. So what can they do next year? At the end of the day, I think we are probably in a position to say whatever happens next year happens. Let's be perfectly honest in terms of this has come way before anyone expected, and it's going to be going out there attacking the league again and doing what they can do. Now, there is obviously the kind of the side of it of saying, look at what other sides have done, newly promoted sides. Burnley have come up. They've kind of stuck with their style of play. It's ended badly. Luton have come up. They've gone with a different style of play. It's probably going to end in relegation. You look at the spending. You look at Forest, who've come up. They've spent a lot. And they've not really... I mean, they've always been hanging above the drop zone, albeit that they've kind of managed to avoid it with points deductions. Still, you look at other teams. We've seen Norwich, for example, go up in recent years. They've spent nothing and come straight back down. So you've got to look at the success cases we've spoken about. Looking at Burnley in the Championship last season, they're going to look at the teams that have come up and done well in the Premier League. The two cases that come to mind are going to be Brighton and they're going to be Brentford. Those are the models that you want. They're clubs that have been able to sustain themselves without spending huge amounts, with really good recruitment, with really good management, and been able to sustain themselves in the Premier League. And Brighton probably are the biggest one. They came into the league for the first time, what, about 8 years ago now, and they're playing in Europe. So it's not something that... Realistically, you're not going to see Town finishing in the top six next season. Who knows? Could be a big summer. However, it shows that there is that pathway to do it. And it isn't necessarily a case of saying the teams who are going to come up are going to come straight back down, albeit that it looks like all three who came up last season are going to come back down. There are examples of those who have been able to break the mould, and Town will definitely have to look at the examples that have done that.
Excitingly... And thrillingly and factually, we've got all summer to talk about this and write about it and speculate as to what Town might need, how they might do, who they're going to sign. Clearly, recruitment's going to be massive. Can they hit that sweet spot between recruiting just enough players and too many to break up this incredible camaraderie they've got, which clearly is a huge factor in the success of the side. Ross, have you got any final thoughts before you head off for the ladies' game? I want to wrap this up because we've all got things to do.
I just bring it on. Just looking forward to seeing Ipswich Town back in the promised land. This team has been built by Kieran McKenna and co. And one thing as well, I've got to give a shout out, if you haven't seen the video, Martin Pert, who's also been a unsung hero, but his celebration shirtless and he's just there, whoa, with his big guns. And he's been a bit of an unsung hero. I think all the coaching staff and everyone sort of part, it's not just the players, it's also everyone behind the scenes who put a lot of hard work into it. But Martin Pert, you know, what just seeing that video is just fantastic. And I can't wait to see all the other videos and photos that will be posted, because I'm sure there's going to be a lot of stuff.
You wouldn't want to spill Martin Pert's pint, I reckon. AJ, final thoughts from you, as succinct as you possibly can.
This is a promotion that everyone deserves, for those who've kind of caught the Town bug later, I'd say, especially in terms of the fans, not merely like with me, who's kind of come on for the covering job, but also for those who've been there for the highs and lows. This is for everyone associated with this football club, and it's been so good to see everyone enjoying it.
Excellent, my friend. You can do succinct. Stewie, your final thoughts?
The moment.
Excellent.
just a moment to soak up. Like you said to Ross earlier, it's pictures, it's scenes, it's memories to last a lifetime. That can't be taken away from us or anyone. Now it's happened. What will happen beyond here? Who knows? That's the exciting thing, that there's still this journey to continue. The football soap opera always has another chapter. When you hear Kieran McKenna, a man who has been involved at the top end of the Premier League, refer to it as a humongous leap up. We, you know, this time last year, we were talking about, are there some of these players going to be ready for a step up from League One to the Championship? Mm. We're now talking about the same set of players making the next step up again. It's a big ask, but as you say, for me, it's, you hit the nail on the head. It's about getting that balancing act between not going full Nottingham Forest and blowing it all up and having a demolition man summer and spending millions of pounds. And I don't think for one minute they'll do that. It doesn't chime with the culture and the ethos of the club, but clearly they're going to have to bring in some star factor and some quality to help as well. And recruitment is king. They've barely put a foot wrong with recruitment so far, but these are new waters for Ipswich Town, and maybe this has come a little bit ahead of schedule. A very interesting summer ahead, that's for sure. Look forward to kind of documenting all of that, but for now, just basking in the glow of historic day.
Basking in the glow is the term. Yes, Ross?
Well, when I mentioned Sutton, I've just seen it, and it's just a standard social media thing, but Ipswich Town on Twitter has basically put as a description, a Premier League football club, which they are now indeed.
Absolutely lovely stuff. Just a reminder then, friends, to support our sponsors, use the code KOA at manscaped.com for 20% off and free delivery on all the excellent clobber. We are obviously now a Premier League podcast, so if there are some other big money sponsors out there who want to get involved, hit me in the emails on the socials. We will negotiate a suitably large fee, I'm sure. And also follow us across social media, Kings of Anglia on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes as well, because it just helps lift us visibility-wise in the charts. And obviously, there's going to be a flood of people from all over the world now coming to join the KOA army. Right then, Ross has got to go and cover the ladies' game. Stewie's got another interview to do. I've got to crack on and get all the stuff done for tomorrow. Alex has got to go and watch every single Premier League game that's been played this season, just so he knows every single player and can analyse it in great depth. Just soak this up, friends, as we finish. Pour yourself a little drink. Sit back. Enjoy it on this Sunday or Monday, wherever around the world you're listening to this. It's no longer a dream. After 22 years, Ipswich Town are a Premier League football club. We'll speak to you next time.